Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the amazing Justin Nimmergood.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. I'm amazing today. I love it. We're off to a good start this week already.
you certainly are. We are marching down the path of growth, and we just have a lot of great things in store for this show in terms of our social media and our presence there, and maybe some other formats coming up in the near future. So I'm excited about that, and glad that the show has your guidance and your stamp on these next level developments, brother.
Thank you. Happy to be a part of it, Bruce. You know, I obviously when you gave me the call, you know, a month or month and a half ago, and you know, offered the opportunity to me, it was really obviously a fascinating one and something that I couldn't wait to get started with. So I'm excited to see where we're taking together. I think the viewers and listeners out there are going to be really pleased with some of the changes we're making, which I think we'll be talking about a little bit here today. Sure. Right.
And we got a little bit, we're going to get, like you said, that wasn't a Freudian slip, or viewers and listeners. So everybody stay tuned on how you can actually see us do our thing here and other places. And so that's going to be a next level thing for us. So yeah, this is our first show together. So we've had guests and you kind of came on to the scene here. And now this is our first show together. And that's really cool. And, you know, I think when I created the show, or helped create the show a couple of years ago, you know, that the term concierge coaches, that sounds so 2016, but the name still holds, some value but you know, it seems like with each year, you know, what does that mean? You know what I mean? What did that mean in 2017? What does concierge coaching mean in 2018? And even for us, right, you and I, in terms of what we do and how we do it, what does concierge coaching mean to us and to the show? So yeah, the kind of the genesis on to where we are today. And so figured we'd kick that concept around a little bit and, you know, see what we can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for the listeners out there, you know, this was by my request today. So if you're upset that we don't have a guest on today, you can point the finger and blame me.
No, not at all. No, we needed some time in the ring together. You know, it's always an honor and a pleasure, and that's going to happen. We do have guests lined up, folks, so don't panic. I mean, we got guests for days, so don't worry about that. But we do want to, you know, do our diligence and kind of represent us and who we are and what our vision is. And it's kind of fun because, you know, the show is going to have almost an evolution in its identity, and I think it's just going to be really in line with where the field is headed and where business is headed, and maybe where people seeking assistance are headed. So it's going to be exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. So in that vein, Bruce, I know you and I were spitballing a little bit, which, you know, it was great, by the way, seeing you in Dallas there a little over a week ago. I mean, man, you haven't changed a bit. I'll tell you what.
That's good.
You're still the same shit kicker that I remember from years ago. So good to certainly see you again. And obviously, we, you know, captured a couple of selfies there, you know, in your office, but we were spitballing some really interesting concepts. And I think not just concepts, but as you mentioned, where the market's heading. And the question that I asked you that I think, you know, at least in our preparation for today, I want to make sure we encapsulate for the listeners, and I think it would be beneficial for really anyone, is sort of what the genesis of this, right? The genesis of Concierge Coaches, and sort of, you know, if you wouldn't mind, you know, maybe we can start there today, just kind of sharing for the listeners out there who maybe have joined, you know, listening to this podcast in more recent, you know, months or even weeks. Just give them some perspectives on perspective on the genesis of this show, and really what illuminated, what sparked the interest to create a show based on concierge coaching, white glove service, if you will.
White glove service, you know, and you know, what was going on back in 2016, actually it started in 2014, where I began doing executive coaching for, you know, partners, principals, equity partners, managing directors, kind of high level C-suite executives. I was in that space doing this work, and just still am, of course, but that was, you know, starting from 2014, then the evolution was to like, hey, we know you have this great clinical background, but you need to get certified as a life coach and an executive coach. And we're going to send you to this program based out of Orange County to do that. And then once I received that training, and, you know, which I've said on the show before, you know, that was really, it was awesome. It was eye-opening. The paradigm shift between counseling and coaching is amazing. The fact that I've become a coach and really come to understand and read and practice coaching concepts has made both facets of my private practice, if you will, coaching and counseling, improved, you know, just exponentially. So I feel like I'm more effective, you know, in both capacities, and a better service provider for having taken on the coaching training and co-identity. That said, through that experience, just had a, you know, my instructor for the schools, the great Cindy DeFerdinand out of Orange, California, a fantastic, consummate coach of coaches and trainer, was able to get the show started with her. And then, of course, you know, Jenny Hubby came in there, another fantastic coach, well-trained, I think more trained, probably. She's like a neurosurgeon of coaches, a lot of way more formal training in the space than I, and Jenny also did a marvelous job coming alongside and taking this show to another level. I mean, Jenny's knowledge and Rolodex of coaches was phenomenal. Kind of in a nutshell, right? And so, real quick. So the idea was, or it kind of turned out that we were spreading the gospel of coaching on the show. And we're still going to do that to some extent. But we had just coaches come on, and we've had them here recently. We've had some fantastic people as well, just recently, talk about their coaching practice, what they do, their brand, talk about their websites, what they're doing, how they do it. It's such an honor for me to talk to these coaches, and I'm sure, you know, you felt a little good little twinge there on the couple that you've co-hosted with, right? And hear what they're doing, how they're doing. It just makes me sharper. It just makes me more aware. And also, you know, it's good exposure. It's good exposure for our guests. I'm not going to lie, right? I mean, these things are archived. They're backlinked. It's on iTunes. There's a show summary. So it's a win-win for everybody. You know, I have fun. They seemingly have fun. The hour goes super quick, and they get recognition for their presence on the show, and that has value. You know what I mean?
Particularly absolutely.
As the SEO and Google and stuff sees that their website is coming from a highly PR rated site like LA Talk Radio, and also iTunes is probably at least a PR 9, I would think, still holding ground. So, you know, so that's kind of in a nutshell, Justin, what at least my sense of the show and what all has happened up to this point.
Well, you know, you hit on some really key elements there that I think that anyone that has, and I won't even say go as far to say coaching, but that has certainly dove into personal development of some sort has probably observed. And that is that it's really all about, and really this goes for any profession, you know, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or you're, you know, more on kind of the personal development side of the house and you're a coach or consultant of some sort, or even a senior executive at your company, you know, the world is really shifting to this, you know, add value first scenario, where, you know, I would say probably 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was more me first. And there's actually a great book out by Michael Drews and Roy Williams that talks about this pendulum thing that we're seeing in society, right? Which is around, you know, the shifts of me to we and this and that. But, you know, I don't know, Bruce, maybe could you just share with the listeners out there, you know, a bit more about your genesis and sort of coaching in general, even before the show was formally, you know, cascaded out and initialized, if you will.
Well, yeah, I mean, this, we can hop in the baby boomer time machine and go way back to some things, even in the 70s. I mean, you know, my mother still is, and she's 90 years old, but she's still a piano teacher, and I grew up in a musical household. And long story short, when I was about 17 years old, she had a teaching practice and had like two studios in the house, upstairs, downstairs, grand pianos, whatever. And this family had moved in, and they had, I think it was a 9-year-old boy who was mildly mentally retarded. And that's not hate speech. That's what we called it back then. Mild MR. IQ was just a little bit under 70, and that's the cut score for that. And she really wasn't, her temperament was of a sort that she wouldn't take on the teaching case. And at that point, I'd been taking piano for about 10 years and was a pretty proficient player in theory and playing and stuff, as much as a high school kid could be. So I informed her that I would take this young man, and he actually did have a form of Down syndrome, as a matter of fact. So I took him, and she goes, "Sure, if you want to teach him, teach him." And we activated the downstairs studio, and starting at age 17, I was a piano teacher, Justin, and I took I took on kids that had developmental disabilities, kind of spectrum kids, you know, kids with pervasive developmental disorders that could play piano, obviously, right? So I kind of took on, I just took on this practice, and it inspired me to, you know, become a psych major as an undergraduate, and then still with an eye toward working with special populations. But that changed once I hit graduate school. That's kind of the you know, the genesis of me being in a helping capacity, you know, even as a teenager. Look, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was getting more than a minimum wage teaching piano, you know, in Northwest Houston. So I'm not going to lie that I wasn't getting paid for those services. I was. I mean, it was hard work as well, though, you know, and well worth the remuneration, I think, from the parent. And these kids played on recitals, by the way. These kids got on the recital.
No kidding.
They played on the recital. and I, you know, I was just crying buckets of tears and along with the parents of the kids. And my kids went first, you know, mate, because they're like the minor leaguers, you know what I mean? And my mom would always have these large piano recitals. And, you know, whoever was in the back of the program was the Liberace or the virtuoso kids. It's like the tug of war line, right? You got your 500 back at the tug of war line. And there I was, you know, double hitting as a teacher in the front end of the line. And then was one of the 3/4, you know, 78%ers on the tug of war line. So anyway, so yeah, that's kind of and we never had this discussion, but that's kind of where it all started, man. And I just kind of
wow
took it from there. And interestingly, as God would have a great sense of humor, I spent almost 24 years in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So being a helper as a psychology person, working with sex offenders and drug offenders and mental health people, inmates. So yeah, it just kind of kept on from there. And then once I retired in 2013, I quickly pivoted into the private practice coaching sphere, and there we are.
You know, it's interesting. You have a really interesting story, right? A narrative, right? Of kind of where you've been, what you've seen, which you don't too often see, right? Generally, it's like anything, you know, if you're an accountant, you probably stay in accounting, you know, for most or a lot of your, or all of your career. But if you're, you know, a coach, a similar principle sort of holds true. You know, if you're a peak performance coach, or if you're a fitness coach, or if you're a, you know, executive coach, for example, which is obviously the market that you're really largely serving today, Bruce, you generally kind of start and you know, conduct most of your career in there. You've done quite a bit. I mean, could you maybe just talk for a moment about those various different skills, the skill sets and the experiences and sort of how that's really shaped your career as a coach, and in particular what you hope to, you know, I guess add value not only with your private practice but also, you know, to the listeners out there that are part of this, I mean, which I think is really speaking to the genesis of this radio show for that matter.
Yeah, wow, okay. So kind of couple of things on the tips end of the bell curve, right? We talked about, had some experience there, developmentally disabled, and then the other end of the bell curve, you know, working with likes of the governor of Louisiana and Manuel Noriega and other types of white collar criminals that I saw in my tenure at the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So it's interesting. I had to learn that patience with the developmentally disabled. I had to learn the patience again, these kind of entitled, narcissistic, rules are for fools types of inmates. And I mean, I had my fair share of murderers and killers, and I actually spent 6 years in a women's federal prison and worked with the likes of Squeaky Fromm and even some ladies that might be charged with the death penalty for but and so that was a really eye-opening experience working with women, because women only comprise about 7% of the nation's prison population. So they're just thinking about women offenders, particularly women offenders in a very secure federal prison, that set them apart many standard deviations away from other types of things. So that was a fascinating, yet grueling tour of duty. I'd rather go back to the penitentiary I was at than to wear magazines in my pants to not get stabbed then. But I would get stabbed. It's just that it wouldn't have an effect, because a GQ is the exact thickness. You know, they didn't have Cosmopolitan magazines in prison, but they had GQ, and I could put those four of those in my pants and do well. But anyway,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah. I mean, it's like you said, and look, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I've had a little bit more time to work, right, and to work in different venues and different environments and different types of people in different types of situations. And, you know, actually, I'm a trained hostage negotiator. I went to hostage negotiation training in 1993, and all this other firearm stuff is part and parcel of the Justice Department career. So it is weird, right? Because I just never, ever saw myself doing any of these things as a young man. And I think the thing with me is, you know, the listeners who know me or have been kind of tracking the show, I kind of go with the opportunity that is before me first, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like you. You came to my mind. You know what I mean? But that was an opportunistic thought, right? Like, hey, you know? and we, you know, able to kind of develop that idea from there. So I think how I work And hopefully, you know, this may be antithetical to your approach. It may not, but you know, I'm always kind of executing on opportunities, and then, further understanding what I'm doing as I'm doing it. I never take on an opportunity I don't know squat about, obviously, but you know, I think because people will ask me, "Wow, you're so God, what a genius! How'd you come up with that stuff?" It really didn't. It didn't come up. And actually, it was the great Cindy DeFerdinand who really was poking me, you know, on the side. Hey, let's do something. And then I'd already known the great Sam and Ronan at LA Talk Radio from another experience, and I was just able to kind of plug that in. So even right, even with the show, and even, you know, it's always people, if you will, either coming to me with something, and or be folks that I've met, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That then come into my mind to finish a puzzle or solve a problem in my mind, you know? And so, yeah, how's that?
Yeah. I'm reminded of my journey, right? And I think most coaches have very similar journeys. And one thing that stood out to me about it is coaching is very much work that I feel like you're called to. It's not the kind of work that is stereotypical, status quo, you know, very linear. It's not a linear career. It's very much what you're called to. I can think about numerous examples along my coaching journey where there was those, you know, true forks in the road. You know, do I do this or do I do that? And that's very much how coaching is. And, you know, you referenced the example of obviously having that spark or flash of insight to say, hey, Justin would be, for example, you know, as obviously Jenny was wrapping up, you know, her time on the show, you know, Justin would be a good person to kind of come in, you know, and going with it, right? That's very much what coaching is about. You think about those split second decisions in your life where maybe a friend, you know, and this might be going back to childhood now, right, comes to you with a problem and is like, hey, help me with it. Well, that's essentially what we're doing, you know, put a business wrapper around it and help people make actual measurable changes that are going to impact their, you know, not only the top and bottom line of their business, but also of their life. You know, so I don't know if you feel similarly, Bruce. I mean, I guess said differently, it's sort of like it's a calling. It's not really something that you can sort of assign. It's truly a calling.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, you know, and it is for many. It may not be for all. I mean, I was in the coaching class and I sat next to people that were out of gas in their life. Well, I was a school teacher. I figured I'd do coaching, you know, they're just kind of grasping for something. And then somebody said, hey, maybe you could become a coach. And they kind of stumble into the coach training and then kind of see if it works for them or not. There's been my favorite Hollywood coaches are the eyelash threader, dog walker, life coaches. near Beverly Hills. It's just like, yeah, man, you know, they're nice people, but it's just an interesting combination. So there's nothing wrong with that. We need those kind of skills as well, and sometimes that can sustain a coaching practice, but then sometimes it can't, you know. So you're right. I think, you know, I'm about the entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, you know, if somebody said, look, man, I'm going to be a coach and I'm going to take this training and I'm going to get certified and I'm going to go through the steps necessary in my marketing and I'm going to go out there and do this and, you know, do the diligence, then you know what, it certainly can work. But, and I, you know, I think with your path and certainly my path, it's just something that we were led to do and kind of being obedient to the process. For me, being obedient to the process, you know, and going with that flow, has really kind of been, you know, the signature of how my practice and experience is taken.
And sure.
To a certain degree yours, but I mean, but you're a go-getter. I mean, you, You know, Cisco, you know, you're out there go getting and then with your book and right and
yeah. I think you kind of have to be, you know, in order to actually make it in coaching. And you know, you jokingly say, you know, what is the phrase, millennial gone good?
You're or the millennial gone bad? I said it at the introduction of the show, but I didn't want to, like, you know, first show together and get you on that. The next show, I'll definitely do it.
Okay. Well, we'll table that for today. But, I mean, okay. I would say that for sure there's an impasse that, again, happens where you either have to be a decision maker and action taker, or someone that's going to constantly be seeking, I'll call it truth, right? And I've been around both, by the way, in my career, and in particular in my coaching career. You'll see both of them out there. And I just would say for you listeners out there, rest assured, you know, Bruce and I are guys that have been, you know, certainly we've sought the self-awareness and we've been through that piece of the journey, but we're very much on kind of an action-taking and an application-based phase of our career now, which I think sort of, to me, segments the market a bit, right? You joke about it, Bruce, but I would say it's a very distinct, you know, segmentation in the market. And, you know, I constantly see coaches, for example, that are, again, I call them truth seekers, right? They're seeking something, right? And so you mentioned, you know, ran out of gas, or, you know, I'm sure there's a variety of different reasons why people do things or try to latch on to something new. But coaching is, to me, it's a very, it's near to my heart, and it really upsets and frustrates me when they take, you know, people out there, you know, I'll get out my soapbox here for a moment, if I could, you know, take the, you know, really this prestigious career, something that's, you know, to me, in order to be a coach, you got to be one of the best of the best. You think about, you know, Phil Jackson and some of the true great sports, you know, maybe some today in football would say maybe Bill Belichick or, you know, Lombardi. And there's tons of them out there that have been great coaches over the years. Well, they likely were either a great player first, which typically is the case, or they were a great analyst and just had a great understanding of the game. You know, in the case of coaching, it's really an understanding of life and understanding of business and being able to that then teach that down, which is, by the way, the highest skill set you can have in anything is the ability to teach and share that on, right? Pretty much anyone can do it. You know, it takes a little bit more skill to then, you know, do it and understand it. But to do it, understand it, and be able to teach it where people actually understand what you're teaching is a different level of mastery. And so, you know, it really frustrates me as a coach that's been doing this for well over 5 years now, when people are just kind of stay static in that, I would say, self-awareness modality, but use it as their PR stage, you know, all over social media and these different outlets to kind of share on what they will pass on as their practice or their knowledge set, which really isn't, by the way. You know, little hint, hint, word of advice to the listeners out there. Pretty much most everything in coaching, other than some unique systems that people develop over time, is pretty much recycled material. It's just the way in which it's presented, right? And the person that's presenting it. And the reason why we have, you know, a job, essentially, is because of our ability to connect with those unique individuals out in the marketplace. It's not necessarily the material that we possess, although sometimes, again, people come up with unique systems. So, you know, I don't know if you've had experience with it. I know you kind of have, and any, I guess, just any more thoughts around that, Bruce, because, you know, as we advance this show, one thing I want the listeners out there to know with, you know, 100% confidence is we will continue to deliver value to you. But you know, you'll see us, and hopefully you will continue to see us as action takers and, you know, difference makers out there in the world, and not people that are just sort of using this as a forum for self-awareness or truth seeking, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think, you know, what talk about, you know, truth seeking, I'm just more see myself more of as a service person. How can I be of service? How can I be of service to my clients, a service provider, you know, providing a service, a coaching, if you will, service to clients. And, and meeting the clients where they're at, right? Obviously with their needs and what's going on with them. And you're right. I think that, you know, this is such a personalized service that I bring and you bring too. Who we are as people are the change agent, the catalyst for change. You know, it's not so much the material. Yeah, you know, I have to do an assessment and 360 evaluations and other, you know, other types of assessment things to get a handle on the situation. But, you know, it's who we are as people, interfacing with our clients that really makes the difference. And that's what makes it the non-linear experience, right?
Because that's right.
We come into this. We are the catalyst. We are a good part of the change agent there to assist our clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, maybe for the listeners out there, you know, just would be curious to hear sort of what your most notable, noteworthy story of being a change agent is, you know, today with all your years of experience. And this could be, by the way, Bruce, you know, either coaching or non-coaching related. I just would be curious, and I'm sure the listeners would love to hear. And if they've heard the story, maybe hear a little bit more about it.
No, I think, look, there's too many to count, but obviously here recently, you know, in the last couple of years is working with some executives and helping them keep their jobs. You know what I mean? They were in a position where they could have lost their employment, severely damaged the brand of the company, themselves, their families, and getting them to a place of safety and security and, you know, forward movement in all spheres so they can continue that. Justin, I can hear everything you're doing, man. Is that you or Ronan? So I can hear everything in the background. So
sorry, the bulldog was getting into something over here. The joys of doing a kind of an at home, you know, talk radio show. Yeah. Apologize about that. She's all tied up now.
There you go. Let's not get PETA on our tail. But yeah. So other than that, yeah, just, you know, people that are in distress, you know what I mean, in some sort of mental or corporate or existential or whatever distress that's really manifesting itself in different ways, and then coming in there and helping that person, you know, helping that person make the necessary changes in their thought, which result in their affect and emotion and then their subsequent behavior to get them well above the waterline and actually thrive, you know, with time. So, yeah. That would be.
Yeah, the mind body spirit connection is a really powerful one, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I know we've had a lot of people come on the show that are really, you know, they park on the mindfulness aspect of things, and you know, there's a lot of truth to that. You have to be mindful, right? Because if you're not really acknowledging or present in the moment, you're not going to be able to make the most effective decisions for the next moment, right? I mean, So there really is a lot to be said about mindfulness and dialectical behavioral techniques and you know, really getting to a place where, you know, you're focused and centered. And so that is a piece. You know, that's not a destination, but it is a piece of the coaching experience, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I'll tell you from my experience, and obviously a part that I like to really focus on with my coaching practices around the mindset, because I'm a big believer that if you can get your mindset, you know, right, you can achieve just about anything. And I know that's kind of cliche, but I'll give you a very simple, succinct example, and it actually happened to me recently, or I guess I undertook it recently. So last week, really for the last couple weeks, you know, Bruce, which may have shared on the show last week or not, you know, I've been traveling quite a bit, you know, for one of my clients and, you know, in different cities across the country. And this past week I was actually in Philadelphia and at a, you know, major technology conference supporting my client. And, you know, it was long days. It was really long days. I mean, I'm talking, you're out the door usually by 7 or 8 and you're not getting back until, you know, between midnight and 2 a.m. I mean, long days, right? And it's a lot of on your feet. It's a lot of networking. It's a lot of mind power, right? You know, it's not so much physical labor. It's just mentally, I won't say draining, but it's mentally taxing, right? You know, to be on your game for that long, you know, each and every day for a full week straight. And after the first day, you know, having come home, I or back to the Airbnb, excuse me, home, my home is wherever it is. I was like, you know, there's got to be something I can do to get that extra jolt, right? You know, and the first day I had tried the coffee in the afternoon and some of these, you know, stimulants and other things out there, right? And it's like, what is it? And I was reminded of, you know, some of the lessons I've learned over the years in coaching, which is just getting the mind right. So the second day, you know, I was working with this, you know, young sales rep, and I said, hey, listen, let's do something a little weird. We might look weird, but trust me on it. And he was all about it. I said, let's, in the middle of the day, kind of, you know, where we feel like we're hitting a wall, I said, let's sit down. And there was all kinds of, you know, beautiful leather chairs set up all throughout the conference, kind of on the sidelines, you know, for people to sit down and check their phone, check email, et cetera. I said, let's sit down and let's meditate. And I said, let's do a 5 or 10 minute meditation just to sort of reset and give us that, you know, obviously organic, you know, second wind, not, you know, more of a coffee or caffeine based, you know, second wind. And we did so. And I'll tell you what, Bruce, I felt like a million bucks. And it's funny because I looked at, you know, the productivity of the rep and myself, you know, as I reflected on the week. It obviously worked because he in particular, I was working with him. He's, you know, a sales rep again, as I mentioned. He was three times as productive in the afternoon after that meditation as we were in the morning sessions.
Wow.
Period. So I think about that, and that just speaks volumes as to, you know, the power of the mind and doing positive daily, or even if they're, you know, cyclical or they're non-traditional or they're one-off habits, to get your mind right, because everything else follows, right? Your body, your spirit, everything follows your mind, right? And what your mind says it can do. So I just thought that was an interesting story, a story I'd share with the listeners out there, right? And really the power, and that again speaks to us, right? Why coaches, why coaching exists, you know, why it's important, you know, for that matter.
Yeah, it is important. Like you said, you were really in tune to the situation, and you know, hey, you know what, let's take a break, let's do this, and let's have this, I like that, the organic reset of sorts. I love that, even though I think coffee is organic. But yeah, I like that, and it sounds like that really produced some fruit for you guys moving forward in the afternoon. And it's just those types of things, those types of simple things that can really, really help, you know, help our clients, you know, move forward through their day or through various situations. And you're right, it really is hard to be on for extended periods of time. And you know, there are some days where I'm having to do that, you know, go from 12 to 9 or whatever, you know, and just kind of, you know, refresh and reboot and be 105% there for my next client as kind of roll through the day. And so you know, I think that's, you know, it's a nice problem to have, but once, you know, once you have a practice and somewhat of a caseload, you know, we have to practice what we preach as coaches and be very aware and very present for our clients. And there'll be some weeks I'll actually space people out, right? So I'll just have 30 minutes to reset and almost meditate, just like you said, Justin, and that way the next person comes in, I'm baseball ready to go. And you know, I know what that's a costly 30 minute move, because that adds up during the course of the day, and my CPA is always wondering, man, you know, you could be doing, you know. I'm like, no, man, you know, if you don't, you know, if you're not in there 100%, you know, you're not there for the client. So yeah, I think think you're onto something there, and that's part of the process. So, but I think that's one of the things about you is that you kind of move, you know, you hear that voice and answer it, you know, pretty quick. You're not censoring it, or you're not necessarily, oh, you know, it's kind of weird and people are going to think we're a bunch of weirdos here with our eyes closed or whatever, you know? So I really like the fact that you also, you execute, you know, on your thoughts, you know, and that's, like you said, that difference making and decision making and difference making, you know, just it requires action. Even the cure for depression, fairly medicine, it's meaningful action, not just action, not just doing something for the sake of doing it, but doing something that has meaning. And man, therein lies coaching right there, you know, for different applications. So,
well, I'll tell you, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's, again, I say spark of intuition or flash of insight, or obviously we say taking action, or you probably have heard some coaches say taking massive action. And that all originates from, you know, again, from the mind. And, you know, you basically have about, I mean, really it's split seconds, but it's 5 seconds or less. So Mel Robbins, she came out with the great book, you know, The 5 Second Rule, which if you know, listeners out there, if you haven't read it, definitely worth picking up. And in that she talks about different daily habits, you know, good and bad, where the 5 Second Rule comes into play. And no, we're not talking about the 5 Second Rule of when you spill food on the floor and whether you should eat it or not. Right. This is real deal, you know, hardcore coaching, right? And you have those 5 seconds, and if not, your brain will absolutely compute, you know, will shut down that computation, right? It shuts things down because that's what it's really designed to do. Your brain is a safety device by and large. It's not all what people think it is. It's by and large a safety device, you know, at its forefront. So I always find that, you know, interesting when you look at the coaching realm and, you know, the types of practices and systems that people are putting in place that are mind, certainly mind related, mind, body, spirit related.
Yeah. Mind, body, spirit related. And those are good things. A lot of things that happen with my clients is they're relationally related, relationship strain, problems with relationships at work in the company with other maybe C-suite people, with subordinates, with coworkers, relational issues, things that aren't fixed with the individual that are leaking into the workplace and being,
oh boy,
somewhat destructive in the workplace, therefore, right? And you see the ripple effect. What, you know, people aren't, their metrics are down, they're not hitting their goals. And, you know, millennial or not, you know, some of these, you know, particularly financial service firms or other types of men, you know, they want to see results from their employees. You know what I mean? You know, they want to see the revenue, they want to see accounts, they want to see growth. I mean, that is a gender blind, generationally blind, you know, metric. They want to see results. And when they're not getting those results, that pain tolerance gets crossed, right? It's like, hey, what's wrong with Joe or Jane? You know, they didn't quite deliver this last quarter or this last year. And they call them in like, hey, you know, kind of not doing this. And Joe or Jane has to explain, you know, a combination of pointing fingers or taking responsibility or whatever. And that's where in my world, the coaching comes in the productivity space. Now there's, you know, relational issues, Me Too issues, alcohol and chemical mediated issues, the domestic violence issues. So there's a plethora of other things that I get involved in these workplace engagements that I have. Or threat issues, internal threat issues, but which, you know, usually are relational. So anyway, long story short, we just want to bring out the relational piece to that, just not like mind, body, spirit, but man, you know, for what I do, I go in there with a fire extinguisher first and then work my way back into some of these things. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? Just add one more point to this, since you brought up the relational piece. You know, my executive coach, which, by the way, folks, even coaches have coaches. My executive coach, you know, taught me something invaluable. And it was that when you want to operate at a higher level, it becomes all about the way in which you lead and manage your relationships. And it didn't really click with me for a little bit. I mean, he certainly shared it early on in our relationship. And I was like, yeah. But I didn't quite understand what that meant. And think about it tactically, you know, if you're, especially let's talk corporation for a moment, you know, you're an individual contributor. You can be tactically exceptional. You can be execute on everything. But if you're a poor relationship manager, then you're probably not going to assume a leadership role. At all, if anytime soon. You know, it's truly the ones that understand and can manage those relationships and do so effectively that end up assuming the executive leadership positions or obviously starting, launching, and growing their own businesses accordingly.
Or if you are kind of impaired and in a leadership role, this is your last leadership role.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me make it clear. Because that's how that pop flops, like, you know, and I've worked with many of these people, Justin. They were the kind of the curmudgeon and with the glass office and everybody kind of hated them. Well, man, look, and they're like, hey, why don't you get a job somewhere else? You know why? Because nobody else will have you. Because when they do the vouchering and they do their diligence, they're going to say, no, man, you know, I mean, this guy is,
bad news.
yeah. Bob Cratchit or whoever. And it's like, you know, or. And look, this works with the ladies too, right? That are just kind of mean. And what they've done is they've boxed themselves. Now they feel as caught in their job as their employees do. They feel like they're a hostage in their own job and kind of spreading the negativity downwards. So, yeah, really kind of getting in. And I could do a whole a show on that one. So I'll just stop the bus there. But yes, oh, man, that relational piece with others is clutch. It's very important, and we'll be talking more about that as time wears on here on the Concierge Coaches Show. For sure. We got 3 minutes left. So let me put in a little plug for our social media, such as it is right now, but it's going to be getting better. You know, folks, if you're wanting to be kind of, you know, sneaky, you can try to find us on Instagram. But that will be... we won't tell you what that is right now because we're building it, and going to be even more sneaky. You might go on LinkedIn here in a few weeks, but there's going to be some exciting new changes there. But we're also on Facebook with a Concierge Coach Facebook page, and we're, you know, also on iTunes. Feel free to check out this show on iTunes as well as the LA Talk Radio Archives, folks. We have our own bio page, and even that's going to get a little facelift, nudge, nudge, wink, wink there. Just we got some changes on the way for that. So, yeah. So they may be already there. I think they probably are. They are so fast at LA Talk Radio. They get it done. I'm telling you, they get it done. It's amazing how fast they are. But so yeah, come by our page on the radio, latalkradio.com, Concierge Coaches Show, and then on our Facebook, and then we're going to have some more points for you. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net, and folks, Justin, how can the folks reach you?
Yeah, so best way is certainly, you know, my website for now, and I would say we're going to be obviously building out more, you know, as Bruce said, social media outlets where we can build these communities, build these tribes of individuals accordingly in the coming months, so be tuned for that. But my website is nimmergood.com, so N is a Nancy, I, M is a Mary, ergood.com. That's where all my coaching and consulting speaking services are outlined, as well as my, you know, reference clients and whatnot. You know, for those that are listening out there, you know, if you take my, it's a short kind of assessment, if you will, for one of those areas, I'll send you a free copy of my book. So check that out. But yeah, you know, back on the point of the social media, I know we only got 1 minute left here, Bruce, but you know, we're extremely excited, right, about the facelift and the new things we have coming for. So we want to hear from you, right? Let us know, find us on these social outlets, you know, and chime in and say, hey, we'd love to hear about, you know, to Bruce's point today, relational coaching or better managing relationships in the workplace. Let us know, right? We really want to hear from you as the listeners to help shape the content, you know, for the coming months so that it's effective and it's exactly what you guys want to hear. So tune in, let us know what you want. And, you know, we're looking forward to serving you here in the coming months. Bruce, I'll turn it over to you, man.
All right. Well, it sounds like a plan. Yes, we'll definitely do that, and can't wait to hear from our listeners and what they want to do. And they'll be able to interact with us more and actually see us here in the coming weeks and months. It's going to be fun. All righty, folks. Well, again, another great show here on the LA, on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And come by next week, same time, and we'll have an exciting program for you there. And go by the LA Talk Radio website as well as iTunes and catch us there. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.